Right at the top of Pehei Amanah, by the two dots, right? The Mishnah is now up, that we dealt with Nezek. Right? The Mishnah was, until now the Gemara was discussing what's the source for Nezek or Mamon that's paid by Nezek, Ayin Taf Dayin. Now the Gemara is up to Tsar. So by Tsar we say, Om Dim Kama Dam Roteh Lito. So the Gemara says, Tsar Bimokom Nezek, Hepi Shaminon. When we are also paying Nezek, how do you assess Tsar independently? So Amar Avua de Shmuel, Om Dim Kama Dam Roteh Lito Likto Alo Yado. So it says, you find out how much a person is willing to accept in compensation to have his arm cut off. Where it says, if you're cutting off his arm, that's not just tsar. You haven't isolated the issue of pain by cutting off his arm, right? You have everything in there. So number one, that doesn't solve our problem because you aren't able to isolate the form of payment that we want, which is for tsar, but owed. Are we dealing with fools, idiots? I mean, that who's going to be willing to pay, accept any money or any compensation to have their arm cut off? What type of assessment is this going to be? Ella liktoa yado haktua, to sever his arm that is already cut off. I mean, that's not cut off because if it's cut off, you can't cut it off again, but rather that it's not functional. It's an arm that's not functional. So the question is that how much is a person willing to accept in compensation in order to remove this arm that's not functional? Again, you haven't isolated the problem of tsar. Why not? Hatsar uboshet ika. There's not only tsar, but there's also boshet of having the arm removed. Ksipele milta. Right? It's embarrassing. Lemishkal mibsaro, to take his flesh. Lemishdei leklavim, throw it out to the dog's feet. I mean, that if you're severing the arm, right, then you're taking a piece of his body away. I mean, I could have argued also that now it's that he presents himself without an arm. I mean, even though it wasn't functional before, at least he looked like he had a full body, had an arm. When you sever the arm, his also his appearance has changed. Ella, so what's the way we do this? Omdim kama adam roteh lito liktoa lo yado amuchtav l'malchut ben sam l'sais. So what do? We say, no. Assess how much a person is willing to. He's been judged. This individual has been judged by the courts of the king to have his arm removed. That's his punishment. So now, how much would he pay to do it ben sam l'sais? So, I mean, that originally he was going to get an anesthetic. So we want to know how much money would he be willing to accept in order to move from anesthetic to straight with the sword. So Mary says, Imri, ochanami lo l'shakio umitzar nafshev. It's an infinite amount of money. Nobody's going to be willing to accept monetary compensation to switch from anesthetic to lack of anesthetic. So Mary says, Ella, this is the solution. How do we isolate tsar? It's omdim kamadam rotili ton liktoalo yadoa muhtalam achud ben tsayif l'sam. So now this is the opposite way around, meaning that the person has now been sentenced to have his arm cut off by the malchut, but to be cut off with the malchut, besides, with the sword, straight off. How much is he willing to bribe or pay the executioner in order to have him do it in a manner that is less painful or without pain? So now here you have to, now you could assess, meaning that we're not talking about someone who's going from the point of no pain to the point of pain, which we said that nobody would be willing to pay, or the amount of money would not equal the value. And over here you have, it's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway. How much would a person be willing to shell out in order to prevent that being a painful experience rather than just having it cut off straight? So my says, Hai Lito, Lite mi boilet. Right? That's not Kandam Adam Yosef, they were said Lito. It's not how much you will take money from, this is how much you're willing to pay. Right, our mission said lito, and now you're talking about paying. So I'm Rabbuna Braid Rav Yeshua, lito ze mizeh, mashinatan zeh. Now, lito mizeh mizeh means that the payment, or the amount of money that you will take, is what you're willing, or what this person would be willing to pay. Mashinatan zeh. What is this person willing to pay to have it be done under anesthetic? That is the amount of money that we told that will be taken over here. That's how much the money, or how much it is set to value the tsar, or the pain that is happening over here. Now, the Gemara says, Ripui, Hiko, Chayav l'Rapoto. So now we're up to, right, Ripui, which is the doctor bills, he has to cover. So we've done Nezek, we've done Tsar, now we're up to Ripui. Tan Rabbanan, Alupo Tzmachim Achmata Makah. If he starts to get some sort of growth, whether it's fungus, infection, bacteria, something that happens because of the injury, So then the nistara hamakah, and then the makah opens up again, right? So there it opens up, it doesn't heal properly. Chayav lerefoto. B'chayav l'tein lo d'mei shivto. Number one, he's responsible to ensure that he gets fully cured. I mean, he's still responsible for the doctor bills in this sense. And number two is he has to pay for his unemployment at that time. His unemployment or his disability. Shlo mach matamaka. If it's not because of the wound, I mean, not because of the wound, and it's still, whatever happens, this person gets an infection or something else, he doesn't have to pay for his, right, the doctor bills, and he doesn't have to pay for his shevet. He doesn't have to pay for his unemployment or disability. Now, what exactly this means, because, well, we have to see in a second, but what's the habamina? I mean, if Shlom Akmada Makeh, of course he shouldn't be chayav to cure him. Why is there even a reason to think he should be? Now, Rabbi Yehuda, this is the second opinion here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Machmada Makeh chayav lerefoto v'enu chayav liten lo dmei shifto. Says, even if there is extended doctor's bills or complications because of the injury, then you're only obligated to take care of the doctor's bills, but not to take care of the unemployment or disability that's associated with that extended medical situation. But Chamim Omrim, this is the last opinion, the third Tana, and then the Gemara will discuss what the machlokus between them is. Shifto v'rufu ato, that they come together. Why? Because it says, Rak shifto yitzein, rapo yira pei. So the Gemara, the Torah makes a hekesh between shevet and ripui. Kosh chayav b'shevet, chayav v'ripui. Anybody who's responsible for unemployment or disability will also be responsible for medical bills. If you're not responsible for unemployment, you're not, or disability, you're not responsible for medical bills. But my kamiflegate, what is the argument between these three Tanaim here? Zamar Rabba Ashkechit to the Rabbanan Bebe Rav, found the, in the base measures of Rav, the Rabbanan was speaking to the Akhavik, and they were saying, Hacha b'makeh, it's not like gate kamiflegate. The question at hand is whether you're allowed to bandage your wound. What does that mean, you're allowed to bandage your wound? Meaning that the person who has been injured, do we permit him to wrap up the wound? Because when he wraps up the wound, it'll make it, first of all, less painful. And number two, it'll make him, you know, warmer and not feel the cold. Or do we force him to leave his wound exposed? By leaving his wound exposed, then we assume that the wound will heal faster. So do we give him permission to bandage up the arm, even though that there's a likely side effect that if you bandage up the arm, that you'll have either an infection or you'll have fungus or something that grows there because of the lack of exposure to the air and to light, so it will cause growth or some sort of extended medical problem by putting the bandage on. Does he have permission or not? Rabbanon say very makin it's not like it. The Rabbanon say that you're entitled to bandage up your arm. Rabbi Yehuda say very makah lo nitna le'agid. Then Rabbi Yehuda says no, that you're not permitted to bandage your arm. So the Gemara says, Rifoy, the Tani Beikra, Mechayet. So why does he, according to Yehuda, if you're not allowed to bandage your arm, then why do you have to pay for the medical bills of the extended problem? So he says, that's because the Torah, when it said Rifoy, doubled Lashon. It says, Rapo, Yirafe. So despite the fact you're not permitted to bandage your arm, if you do it, you still pay the Chuvel, the person who caused the damage and the injury, must pay for those medical bills. Shevet, lo Tani Beikra, lo Mechayet. Shevet, which is not doubled, right, then you don't have to pay for the unemployment or the disability. And I said to them, I don't know, right, if you do not have permission to bandage your arm, how could Yehuda suggest that even though you have a double lashon of rapo yirafe, if you are not permitted to bandage your arm, then when you bandage the arm and cause extended medical problems, it's your fault, it's your pshia, it's not the problem of the chovel, it's the nechbal that caused the problem. If the nechbal caused the problem, why should I, as the chovel, or the person who is the chovel, be obligated to compensate for medical bills that are not his fault? Ella, let's explain the machlokas this way, and the Gemara's going to go with this solution. The kuli alma, makah nitna b'agid. You two are permitted to wrap or bandage a wound. That you are permitted to do. V'lo nitna b'agid yitera. The only question is, can you bandage it in excess? Meaning that if there's a basic bandage which you're entitled to put on, that's according to everybody. Now, beyond the basic bandage, which for some reason makes you either more comfortable or less cold or warmer, are you permitted to place on this extra bandaging? So, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Kevin Lunit Nala Gay, Yitzera, that you're not permitted to put on the extended or excess bandaging. Ripoy the Dani Bekra Mechayit. Ripoy, when it comes to which the Torah doubles, that you're obligated to pay. Shevet, the Lo Dani Bekra, Lo Mechayit. And Shevet is not repeated by the Pasuk, that you're not responsible for. Again, because you are permitted to bandage here, so that's not, so the extended medical issue seems to be a cause of the, is caused by the, probably the bandaging, but maybe it was also caused by the extensive bandaging you do, the extra bandaging that you did. So if you see that in that situation, Ripoy remains as an obligation of the Chovel, and Shevet does not, because you did a little bit beyond what you were permitted to do. So you're not a total Posheya, but you're a little bit responsible for what you did. Rabbanan.
You're really doing two things.
I mean, that's the Gemara now is going to do three. Right? Before the Gemara did two, but now the Gemara will address all three. Very good. Rabbanan Sabre, Keva de Tani Bekra Ripoy, a Shevet Nami Mechayev. Right? That if you are the obligated Ripoy, then in Shevet, you also must be Chayev. Deiv Kash the Ripoy. Right? Because then there's a Hekesh between Ripoy and Shevet. So this Rabbanan is the Tanakama. Tanakama says you're obligated both in Ripoy and Shevet. So why are you chayav both in Ripoy and Shevet? Because if you're obligated in Ripoy, you're automatically going to be chayav in Shevet. So because we doubling of Lashon Ripoy makes you chayav, then Shevet you're also chayav in.
Tanakhama said that you chayav only
Machmata Makeh.
Machmata
Right, which is this case here. The Machmata Makeh, because of the bandaging, it's the Makeh itself that caused the problem. It's not something exogenous, it's not a different issue. Because then, if you're obligated in the medical bills, you can also be obligated in the disability or the unemployment. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, what is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the hekesh between Shevet and Ripoy? Rabbi Savar, Shevet lo mechayev, the me'atatei kruot rachmono. The pasuk excludes it specifically, but it says rak. Right there, it says rak shito yitain, rapo yirape. The rak is a mute. Rabbanan, rak shalom machmata makehu. Rak comes to exclude things that are not because of the, right, of the injury. Data. Ooh, the Rabbanan Batrai, this is Shaul's question, where's the other third opinion here? There is, the Rabbanan Batrai, the second opinion, the Rabbanan would say you don't pay neither a medical bill nor disability or unemployment. What do they say? Dami, kosh chayav b'shevet, chayav b'ripuy. Kosh enu chayav b'shevet, enu chayav b'ripuy. They look at the hekesh the other way around. The Tanakhama says, well, if you're chayav b'ripuy, you're chayav b'shevet. The Rabbanan Batrai say, no, if you're potter from Shevet, then you gotta be potter from ripuy, from medical bills. And Uchayav Ripoy. Ripoy the Tony Bekra Lomali. Then according to Rabbanan Torah, why did the Torah double the Lashon of Ripoy? Right? According to Yehuda and the Tanakhama, both of them say the reason that it's doubled is because you're Chayav for Rifuah. You're Chayav to pay for the medical bills. Why did the Rabbanan Batrai, where you are Patur for medical bills, what do I need it for? Mi Bailek, the Tanah Rabbi Rabbi Shmuel, the famous line, the Tanah Rabbi Rabbi Shmuel, Omer, Rapo Yirape, Mekan, Shenitan Rishut Rofe, the Rav Ot. Right, from here we have that the doctors are given permission to rectify, to provide medical services to the individuals. Right? So what's the Havim, you know? That's what the Riyas over here. What's the Havim here? Why shouldn't the doctor be able to work on the individual or provide medical attention to the individual? So you look in Tosfos over here. It says, Shenitan Rishut Rofe, the Rav Ot. V'im Tomar, if you just said the word mirape, why do I need rafe? Rapo yirape. And you just said it once, I would have known that he could also do medical, right, give him medical attention. V'yesh lomar, it's an unbelievable havamina. It's a havamina, hane mile make bide adam. That the permission for the doctor to perform medical services or provide medical attention is only when the injury was done by another human being. Aval cholia ba bide shemayim, but sickness that comes about because of, right, the heavenly decree, and a person gets sick without the intervention of others, then he goes ahead and he tries to provide medical attention to this individual, it's as if, right, he is saying, oh, Hashem made that decree, I'm going to go undo the decree of Hashem, Kamash Malan, that we don't say that, and he kind of should, or fail or apot. That's what the reason says, no, in Al-Khanami, had it been, right, just an injury caused by another individual, had it just said the word rapo, I would have said, fine, go ahead and provide medical attention. A human being caused the problem. A human being can rectify the problem. But when there's no other third party involved in causing the issue, then why, as a medical professional, what gives you the right to intervene in Hashem's gezeira, that this person be sick? This person's sick, why should you be able to provide medical attention? That's what the Torah comes along and says, Virapo yirape. Now, it's, just as a hashkafic understanding, it's very difficult to read Havamina. Obviously, is or the Tosfos, with those who claim that the Havamina is very difficult. Does that suggest, right, that we believe that when an individual is hit by another individual, it's chovel v'chaveiro, that that somehow is not a decree from heaven, right? That is not something that is a punishment from heaven, and therefore we can provide medical attention to that, as opposed to when there's no other involvement. The Chiddush of Tosfos here would suggest that the intervention of individuals somehow might be, like Shaul is suggesting over here, might somehow upend what normally would be the decree of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you can come in and intervene to put him back on track, as opposed to when it's a decree from heaven, where if you intervene, then you're clearly, right, saying to Hashem, listen, I know this is what you want, but this is what I want. Right, so that's why you need the special permission of Rapo Yirapei. Alright, Tan Rabbanan. Menayim shim alu bot smachim, machmana makev, and nitzera makesh, chayav lerapoto. How do you know that if these growths, whatever the problem that is engendered by the wound, how do you know that if that happens and it causes the extension of the injury, that you have to provide the medical attention, you have to provide unemployment? I was like, even if it's not because of the makeh, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer, even if it's because of the makeh, you're patur. Rak is an exclusionary statement. So ike de amre, right? Some say af machmat when Rabbi Yosi Yehuda means even because of the makay patur. Af machmat makay patur the gamre. I mean patur the gamre. Whose opinion is Rabbi Yosi Yehuda holding like the Rabbanan Batrai? Right? The Rabbanan before who said that you don't pay shevet, you don't pay vipo, you don't pay anything, even when it is machmat makay because you were quasi at fault because you put on the extra bandaging. That even when machmeh patur means mishevet, that means from the unemployment or disability. V'chayav b'ripui, but you're chayav in medical bills. Kiman, who's that like? Yavua, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda above. And this is Rabbi Yossi for Rabbi Yehuda. So he's following the footsteps or the position of his father, that when you have this extended medical issue, it's only the medical bills that you have to pay, but not the disability or the unemployment. So now, according to Shaul's question before, alright, what does it mean, lo machmana makeh? Is that any chiddush here? So, amar, yochol apilush lo machmana makeh. Right, what do you mean? Not because of the wound. What's the hava mean is to suggest that if it didn't happen because of the injury, that you should be obligated to take care of it. Tamal marak. Shlo machmana makeh, by cross. What do you need a pasuk to tell me that if it happens, guy gets sick independent of his injury, that you have to provide medical attention? What does that mean? Imri my shlom achmada makeh, then we have to redefine what it means shlom achmada makeh. The Tanya, Aresha Avara Dibrei Rofe V'chad Vash. Person ignored the medical advice, the advice of the doctors, and went ahead and ate honey. Oh, komene mitika, or anything sweet. Mibnei shedvash, komene mitika, kashin la makeh. Sweets and things that are sweet and honey are detrimental to one's medical recovery. V'ala makatohu gar gutni. And his injury then, because of his disregard for the doctor's instructions, his injury then has, I was going to say gangrene, but the translation of the jastro is scabby, or something like that. I don't know which means scary and scabby. I don't know exactly what that is, because I don't know what those words mean in English, but it sounds like it became to scab and scar, and since there were additional issues that came up because of this, because he ate the sweets or the honey. There we go. So you think that you'd be responsible to provide medical attention to him? So that you'd have to say rak. So the Gemara says, my gargutni. What is gargutni? I'm rabbi and not the krichta. In case you were wondering what gargutni was, it's not the krichta. My asbate. What is his cure? What is the medical attention for it? Oala, which is aloe. Vikira, which is wax. The kilba, which is, Rashi calls it something in the barrels of wine, but it sounds to be like a resin of sorts. So these three things, you put them together, that you would cure the whatever the problem was that was generated by this disregard for the doctors.
Aloe is a modern...
Yeah, aloe is, right, for skin, for burns, and things like that, right? Pia Marley, Asya.
I mean, this seems similar to the idea of... So there's still a reason related to the makkah, to see how to do it and trying to cause the discomfort. But here, it's just
Right, there's a reason to believe. I agree that in the case of the bandaging, right, there's a reason, there's a positive reason that he does it for himself, right, and so therefore he is a poshea slightly because he shouldn't have done it, but nevertheless he did something that was to increase his comfort and make his life better. Right, the rofe, he ignores, right, explicitly ignores the instructions of the rofe, which causes him more damage. So that's where even the Rabbanan Tanakamo agree that in that case he won't be responsible for the medical attention. Now this is a very important gemara here, this next two lines here. V'yomarle Asiyachana, the chovel, the one who caused the damage, says, I'm a doctor, why pay for medical bills? I'll take care of you. So Amarle, what is the nechbal, what does the injured say back to him? Demitalai karya arba. You are to me like a lion in wait. Right? I mean, that's about to pounce on me. You already hurt me, you caused me an injury, I'm not putting my injury in your hands, meaning that I don't trust you to provide me the medical attention. V'yamrele, maitina atya d'magein b'magein. I'll bring you a doctor for free. I have a relative who's a doctor, and he'll provide the attention to you for free.
So what's the response there? My insurance
service. Right, you're going to go, amrele, atya d'magein b'magein, magein shaveh. It's one of the greatest lines in the Gemara. You get what you pay for. Says that doctor that's free is worth his money. It's worth as much as you pay for it. So he says that I don't consider to be medical attention because you're not paying anything. When you don't pay anything, you get exactly what you pay for. V'yamar ma'pinen lach atya rechika says I'm going to bring you a doctor from far off. Right, I'm going to bring you a Chinese doctor over here. Right, I'll bring you someone who's alternative medicine, whatever it is. He says what's in. He comes to these doctors that are from far away. The reason he's bringing in these doctors from far away is because it's cheaper. He brings in the cheaper doctor for the medical attention. He says, someone who is from far away has no vested interest in ensuring that the medical attention provided actually is efficacious. Why? Because look, there, say he blinds the individual and then he takes off, goes back home. Nobody's
in. Exactly.
He doesn't have any long-term responsibility here or loss from his lack of proper medical attention. So since he has nothing at risk, I don't trust him to provide attention to me. V'yomar leheir, what about if the nechbal suggests this way? Havli the didi, v'ana mesina nafshai. Give me the money, and I'll go find my own doctor. I'll go pay for my doctor. I'll take care of myself. Amale, the chovel can say no. Peshat benafshech, shakal minai tfei. No, I don't trust you because if you take the money and provide your own medical attention, well, I'm afraid you're not going to do it right. And you're going to extend your medical needs, and I'm going to have to compensate for this extended medical problem because you're not treating it or taking it for proper treatment. So he says, Imalai kotli mekit. No, you know what we'll do? Send me the amount. We'll set now. I mean, it sounds like here that it's the case where he didn't set it, but we'll set the amount. You pay me a fixed amount, and with that amount, I'll have to provide myself medical attention. Listen to what he can say. Imalai koshkin to peshat benafshech, v'karli shoram azik. He says, I'm worried. If we fix the amount, and then you don't take the proper medical attention, or you overspend or go to expensive doctors, and therefore you're not cured entirely, it's going to reflect badly on me. I'm going to have a shame law in the world as a shor mazik, someone who damages, does not compensate, does not rectify the situation. Not because of my own shia, but because of your shia. And I don't want to be responsible, right, for your lack of attention or your lack of treatment by having you, even though I gave you the money, and gave you the full money, and I'm off the hook. I'm off the hook, you're right, in terms of monetary compensation, but I'm not off the hook in terms of my reputation. This is going to ruin my reputation if I let you do it by yourself.
So far, it appears that the attacker cannot name the doctor, and the victim cannot name the doctor.
Right. Well, I don't, not name the doctor here. The victim cannot. He cannot say, I will take care of myself, my own medical attention, and he cannot say, fix the amount, and I'll go. So they have to come up. It seems here that they agree on some medical plan, or some doctor, some agreement on doctor. It's almost like Zabla, right? By basis. You know, this guy picks one, this guy picks one, and they pick a third one together. Seems there has to be some either common assessment or basin will have to appoint the medical attention so that they know that it's well known that basin assessed it and gave the proper medical attention, that this person's reputation will not be on the hook. Alright, Tana. Uchulam mishtalmim b'makom nezek. There is a principle that even when there's nezek, you still pay for tsar, ripui, shevet, and boshet. So my nose, how do you know that? How do you know that once you paid for nezek, there's still issues at hand that you must pay for or compensate for. We bumped into this a little before. There was, when it comes to Pesach Tacha Pesach, which is the source for Tzar, that we say, Even though, right, even though there is nezek, we still require a tzar b'makom nezek. Hamibayi, lei, the rabot, shogei kemezid, be'onis kiratzon. I really need petza takat fesh to teach me something else, which is that by a chuvel by adam, it's irrespective of how it happens. You are responsible, no matter how you cause injury to another individual. Imkei nichtov krav, petza b'petza. My petza takat petza, shmami natarti. We can learn out two things from petza takat petza. One is, an individual chayav, irrespective of how he caused the injury, I mean whether it's onis, ratzon, shogeg, mezid. And number two is, but that even when there's nezek and compensated for the damage, you still have to compensate independently for the tzar, for the pain that you caused. Rabbah made the rabbah amar amakra v'rapo yirape. Detain rufu'ah b'makom nezek. Also over here. To provide, you must provide medical attention, even in the face of having to pay nezek, that if not independent of the nezek, but even in the face of nezek, right, then you say, what? You say that you have to pay to the doctor bill. Anyway, by the way, this is not paid out on Manalus, right, Rav Zid and Rav Papa brought these ideas down to be proofs that what? That the nezek must be talking about monetary compensation because of this. Now, there the Gemara quoted it as Rav Zid Mishmei the Rabbah and Rav Papa Mishmei the Rabbah. So people change the gears to Rava, as you see over here. Rav Papa is in the name of Rava over here, and not Rava, which would make more sense. So Rav Papa Mishmei the Rava Amar Amakar Rav Papa Yerpei Tei Rav Papa Makom Nezek Mar. We need that because Tanya Bei Rav Yishmael, the one we just learned. What do we just learn for Rav Papa Yerpei? The Tanya Bei Rav Yishmael, Rav Papa Yerpei Mikan Shinin Erushut the Rofei the Rafos. Right, that's how doctors have permission to provide medical attention. Right, that is through the pasuk of Rav Papa Yerpei. Imkei Nachtor Rav Papa Kra Rofei Yerpei. So what is it? Rapo Yirape, instead of Rofe Yirape, but Rapo Yirape, Shmami is saying, Rufuah, but Makom Nezek, that teaches me both items. Mar says, Vakata mi baile. I still have another limud from Rapo Yirape, which is, the Gedam Ram. Right, like we said before, the Mitnei Bei Krabi Ripui, that we need the double Lashon of Ripui to tell you that even Machmada Makeh, that Rabbi Yehuda believes, that you need the double Lashon of Ripui to teach you, that you pay medical bills, even though you don't pay for disability and unemployment. That's it. Right. So according to him, M.K. and Lemar Gra Kra, O Rapo, 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 O Yirape, Yirape. My Rapo, Yirape. Shmami now, the same Rukwa, but Makom Nezek. So that means that we have three limudim from this Rapo, Yirape. Right? One limud would be that the Nitan Rishut, Feather, or Feather, Rapo, that your doctor is allowed to provide medical services. Number two is Rapo, Yirape, that even Makom Nezek, you still have to provide medical attention. And number three is according to Rabbi Yehuda, at least, right? And even according to the Tana Kama, who says that if you are chayav in rapo yirapei, you're also chayav in shevet. So if you're chayav in rapo yirapei, why is that? Because you have the double lashon of rapo yirapei. Gemara says, "Mechlal d'mishkaf chalush melakom nezek." The underlying assumption of this Gemara is that you could actually have medical attention independent of nezek. Meaning the Gemara says the statement of the Gemara is that you're chayav for medical attention, all these items b'makom nezek, even when there is nezek. What's implicit in that? That there are possibility that you could come up with a situation that you'd be hired for medical bills or tzar even when there's no nezek. Even when there's no nezek. Otherwise, what's the whole idea? Bring it to
down. There's no obligation.
There's no nezek. No nezek at all. No nezek at all. How could it be? Because that's the Mark Havim. Mark Havim, you know, is, okay, you only be hired for these items when there is no nezek. If there's no nezek, but then we have the psukim and come to you. No, even when there is nezek, we still pay for it. But what's that tzad that said you could have these items independent of nezek? The Gemara says, how is that possible? Shlomo Gomez and Chek Mishkachavu. How do we find these kids? Tzar Kiditani. Right? Tzar is found in our Mishnah. What's the Tzar? Tuvao b'shibud b'matzmer. He burnt him on his nail. A few of us deeper know. He burnt him on his nail with some sort of, say, skewer or a nail, hot nail. Makom sheino soch chabura. Place where he causes no nezek because it will grow back. It's not a problem of nezek. It's all about Tzar. So that's the situation. We can have Tzar without any nezek. Ripui, what's the case of Ripui where can you have medical attention, a necessity for medical attention without any nezek? He had something wrong with the person that had some sort of injury or pain. Visalik, v'aitzalik, it was getting better. It's improving. V'aitzile sama harifa, the doctor comes along and gives him, or this individual, maybe not a doctor, but an individual comes along and gives him some sort of medicine, a very, very strong medicine to either accelerate or to help him with the injury, to cure the injury, but achmere the bitzrei. And because of the strength of the medicine that he took, it actually turned his skin white. Right? It's now, turning the skin white, Rashi calls it zarat. It starts to look like a leprosy of sorts. But he turned the skin, somehow he discolored or caused some problem with the skin, because of the medicine that he provided. The circle Bele Sama and Kute Gabna Vitre. He has to provide him the, I don't know, antidote or the alternative, the other medicine to rectify the color of skin, to bring it back to its normal color. So here it's damage, there's no nezek because it's healing, right? But the problem is that he has a medical attention because he changed his skin white instead of red over here, or normal color of skin. Shevet, what's the case of Shevet? The Hadke Bidronga Ubate. Simple, he locked him up in a room. He locked him up in a room, there's no nezek, I mean there's no physical damage or injury to the individual, but he still caused him loss of employment. So he has to compensate him for loss of employment. Boshet. What's the case of Boshet with no nezek? It's directly about face. Spits in his face. Spits in his face is all about the busha. Nothing to do with injury or injury. So here we have all
does
the...
Does Boshet mean in his face or in front of him?
I don't know. I thought in his face, but it could be Boshet means in front
in
of his face.
Yeah, why else would it be...
I mean, you could. I understand what you're coming from. From a chalitza. But you have to be barak there, has to be spit in front of him, not that she spits at him, but in front of him. They have to see the spit that goes down to the ground.
When you disgust someone,
right.
I once learned that there's a problem when you disgust someone.
Is it a form of boshet? I mean, it's possible. I thought, and it reads simply as rakwi apay, it means literally bit apay in its face, that he spit in his face. Alright, Shevet. What is the case of Shevet? Right, so we've gone through the mission, we've gone section by section through the mission, now we're up to this unemployment disability. How do we assess the value of unemployment disability? We're like, okay, Luhu Shomer Kishuim. See, as if he is watching the cucumber field. So Tanra Banan Shevet Roizim Kiluhu Shomer Kishuim. That's his unemployment disability. We've told our Lakhtami that is in. Wait a minute. They said, here, this is not proper compensation. You are not giving him back what he's really entitled to. Why is that? The Chi Mitpak, Hai Gabra, what happens if this guy is cured and he gets better from his injury? This guy has a little better, it turns out he gets a better job than just watching cucumbers. He's able to draw water, and his drawing water is a better paid job. So that's one. Inami, or he can be a messenger. And he'll take more value, so he'll have more compensation. Now, what are you doing? You pay him for the nezek that you caused him, the damage you caused for instance, an individual, one who knocked off the arm of another individual, you're compensating for the lack of arm that he can't perform certain jobs now. But then you're compensating besides that, while he's still under medical attention, he's also not able to work at all. You know, he's not able to work is a menial job or some job that he could do without the arm, which the Gemara classifies as watching Kishuim, Shomer Kishuim. Why not? What happens when he comes back and he's able to draw water? Or he comes back and he's able to do something more than Shomer Kishuim? Then you really should have paid him unemployment all along for a higher level of job. That's not true. Because when he compensated for the nezek, he compensated for the present value of that individual to the nechbal's arm. What does that mean? I'm assessing the differential in value between what the person could have done beforehand and a shomer kishuim. Exactly. So when I pay for nezek, I pay for what I made, I changed his functionality from whatever it was, to a low-level employment. So when I pay Shevet, I'm just paying that differential of what's left. Because I already assessed down to the level of Shomer Kishuim, so I just now have to compensate for disability with a Shomer Kishuim. It's an important tosis over here.
The Shevet payment is less because the Nezek
payment was higher. Right, the Nezek payment included more, so the Shevet has to be less. Correct. Now, tosis over here, very important tosis, top tosis over here. If you come down about halfway, maybe two-thirds of the way down, in that tosis it says Venira. It's opposite of the name. Mishpat says, Venera, Zim Hayam Malameit Tidno Kos. What happens if the teacher, Lone Merak Ilu Shomer Kshuim, Ubishibe Raglo, or if he broke his leg, Mayotim Matem Machat, he was a weaver. Onukay Margliot, he was a diamond worker. So none of these things inhibit his ability to continue in his job afterwards. Lone Merak Ilu Shomer Petah, Dimkein Lakat Mina Din, Alhaku Bistam Bne Adam Shem Bali Munot. When we're talking about here individuals, we're talking about people who do not have professions that can continue afterwards. Because otherwise, right, what you're saying is that, oh, we're going to classify him as a nezek to the point that he's a shomer kishuim. Right, down to that point. That's not true. Because after he comes back to work, number one, is that he probably can continue to do what he did before. For instance, a malamei tinoko, the teacher, without the arm, is still able to do what he did before. So the nezek that you caused, maybe there is some sort of damage, there's some sort of detriment to his ability to teach to function. There is a detriment in functionality. But in terms of his work ability, he's still able to get that work. So then Shevet, they'll be opposite around. Nezek will be lower, but his Shevet payment will be much higher because his true value now is the ability to work, either as a dining worker, whatever the situation is, but let's say he breaks his leg, he's still able to be no case, he's still able to work on the computer. All these things where he can still function, right, even though he has the nezek, then his nezek payments will be smaller, but his, right, his shevet payments will be much higher because he is being mevatel him from what he could do afterwards,
and
which
in
is
theory,
the
it's a short term payment, so
short-term
it may actually be a lower
total compensation, right, but the truth is that he didn't cause him that long-term damage, short-term disability versus long-term disability, right? That's really what you're paying for. You. So Amar Rava, Kita et Yado, Natan lo Dmei Yado, Veshevet, he pays for the arm, the value of the arm, Veshevet, the unemployment, he pays for Oito Kilo Hushumer Kshuim. He loses his arm, what he can do now, his functionality is only to watch the field. Shiber et Raglo, if he breaks his leg, Natan lo Dmei Raglo, Veshevet, pays for the leg, plus his unemployment, Oito Kilo Hushumer at the Petach. He's a guard by the door. Why is he a guard by the door? Because he doesn't have to walk around. Right? By the fields, he has to either get out to the fields or he has to circle the fields in order to ensure that they're protected. That he can't do when Shiberet Raglo. Shiberet Yado, you can, but Shiberet Raglo, you can't. Sima, they know, if the individual was blinded by the injury, no ten lo dmei, no it's paid for that. Meshevet, no dim kleu, latchino berechayim. And in terms of unemployment, it's as if he put him on the mill to work. Right? You don't have to be able to see anything. You just have to walk around and around and around, pushing the mill around. Right? Chirsho. If he makes him deaf, notain lo dmei kulo, then it's everything, he has to pay him everything. So this goes along with the Gemara in general. Cheresh in the Gemara is equated with the Shoteh, right? Throughout the Shas, you have Cheresh, Shoteh, Bikatan. Right? So there's an equation between a Cheresh and a Shoteh. So the Gemara believes that once you go to a point of a Cheresh, God bless you, right, that is classified as being totally wiped out.
What's dmei kulo?
His entire value, as if he's dead, as if you killed him.
What's
right.
that?
That's where you go to the shuk. The value, his value beforehand, if he could have been sold on the open market, and now his value is zero.
So
you take
nezek. What do you pay nezek?
What?
What's nezek then?
Nezek is everything. His entire value. There is no shevet. There is no shevet because of that. He's paying for he compensated him the entire amount, right? The nezek now encompasses the entire individual. You paid what would he have been worth before on the open market, and now it's zero. So if you go down to zero, then there is no shevet anymore.
But the Torah says shevet.
This is a case where you're not going to have shevet. Exactly. This is a case where simply there's no shevet. Because there is no unemployment. He's done. He cannot be employed anymore.
Or nezek is shevet.
No, the Tosfos over here differentiates between cheresh b'dei Adam and cheresh b'dei Shemayim. Because the Tosfos brings other places where we see that a deaf person does have value, like by Erechim. See, a deaf person does have value. So he differentiates here between cheresh b'dei Shemayim and cheresh b'dei Adam. Right, and that's number one. And then number two, he says that this is obviously the case where a person is not a bar umanut. He doesn't have some sort of profession. Again, if the person continues the profession even with their deafness, then there's no. The question is, when he's a bali umanut, when a person is a menial laborer or he's just a regular laborer and he goes from job to job, whatever job is available to him, then cherish becomes a significant problem because then he can't hear instructions, he can't do stuff. So there are possibilities where a cherish would not be worth to make kulo, and there would be this aspect of shiva that's left there. So let's make some of those distinctions. All right, bye, Rabbi. Kitet yado v'lam du'a. Right, the guy knocked off his arm. The chovel knocked off his arm, and he didn't get a chance to assess the value. Shiberet raglo. Then afterwards, he breaks his leg as well, and they didn't have a time to assess it. Smith, they know. Then he knocks out his eye v'lam du'a, and they don't assess it. Usof kershel, and then he deafens him. Mao, what's the din? Mi amrina kevin v'lam du'a b'chad umduna zagilet. Since they never assessed it all along the way, at the end when he pays for cheresh, he's paying for his entire value. We say, forget about all the earlier assessments, right? It's just the last assessment. Once you pay for everything, there's nothing to talk about. We have related to make kulit. But they are done. You give it all in one shot. Odilma. Chada chada amrina and beyamin and lay. No, we go through. Piece by piece, we go through and assess the value. Now, the question is, what's the difference? Because in the end, nezek should equal the individual's value, and it shouldn't be more or less. That's what the Gemara says. Gemara says it is more or less. Why? Nafkamine, debayla meitiv lay staru boshet. No, the difference between these is star and boshet. There's a difference between just being machrishim, right, where you make him do a chenit charesh, where he becomes deaf in one shot, and that detracts all the value versus break his arm, break his leg, take out his eye. I mean, there's a differential in the star and the boshet, the chol chad and the chadim. That's real nafkamina. The re adds in here as well ripui. It's not just char, boshet, and ripui. All of those three items should be in here. And he did nezek v'ripui v'shevet, and he eliminates ripui over here from this statement, according to the re. That's called nezek v'shevet. The chol chad v'chad lo yavinam. He doesn't pay. The kevin the koyiv lay to make kulei. At the end, when he pays his entire value, command the kulei done. Zevi killed him. He paid for its whole value. There's not to talk about it. The interim stages of value. He paid for the amount. Taruboshet and report according to Tosos Mia to call Khadavakhadi. He should have to pay. The Havalay Taruboshet. In each stage of the way, he had these excess tsar and excess boshet that he should have to compensate for. Bimtim Koloma. Gemara comes to the conclusion, Imtim Kalama came into low abdu, Kayoiv lay to make kule. Since he was never assessed the value, he has to pay the whole amount. One shot, he pays just for one shot. Amdu Mahu. What if they do assess him along the way? Since they did assess how much damage he did, he's got to compensate for it. Since he hasn't paid it yet, he just pays the whole amount at the end because he never was obligated to pay, or he never did pay. Take the Gemara leaves that as an unsolved problem.
Well, Amduhu doesn't mean it was Gemara Din. It was Amduhu, but it was not Gemara Din.
Maybe even a Gemara Din, right. They didn't say to him, go out and pay, right. But they didn't say to him, even if it's a Gemara Din, but they didn't specifically obligate him to pay, and so you must pay at this point in time. Alright, now, Bai Rabba, Shevet Hapochatito Bidamim Mahu. If he has unemployment, right, he causes unemployment that also temporarily diminishes his value. There's some diminution in his value because of what happens. So there's a temporary nezek. Nezek that's not permanent. So in the long run, there is no detraction in value. But in the interim, there is, even though he's paying Shevet and there's unemployment, there's also some sort of deterioration in value in the interim. So Mahu. Hey, Kidami, what's the case? Kigon, Shigoyo, Dope, it's some Tayo Dope. He hits him on the hand, his hand somehow clefts up, tightens up. The Sokolak Zor. But it will cure, it will heal. Mai, came into Sokolak Zor, Lo Yevlei, Velo Mita. He doesn't have to pay him anything in terms of Nezek because he didn't cause him any problem. So in terms of Nezek, there's no long-term disability. He pays him Shevet for the unemployment that he's causing now, but Nezek, no. O Dilma, Hashta Miachte. Or maybe we look at the current situation. The current situation, this individual is worth less. Why? Because if you go out to the shuk to sell this individual, someone, whoever's buying him, is taking a risk that his hands will come back. So nobody's going to pay you the full value of this individual because there is some sort of risk that the hand may not be healed entirely. So that discounted value, do we say that he is entitled to the nezek for that discounted value? Tashma, amakeh aviv imo v'lasa ben chabura. Person who, when an individual hits his parent, but does not cause a chabura, does not cause, right, a real wound, but chuvel b'chavreo b'yom ha-kippurim, someone who hits a friend on Yom Kippur, chayav b'chulan. He's chayav in all these cases. The age Yom Kippur, so there's no kimelator, aviv b'nei, because there's only chiv karet. In these cases, he's chayav. Right? What's the case where you don't make a kabura and you're chayav? Lav, kigon shigol yadov, so vodak zor. It's a temporary damage. That's some sort of injury that is only temporary. V'ktani chayav v'kulanim. We see that you are chayav even for temporary damage. That's classified as a kabura, as a hitting, as a makam. So Mara says, Imre, v'hachamai skinan kigon shichirshu. V'lo tzabach chabura. No, he deafened him. When he deafened him, he didn't do any damage. There's no blood let over here. But he caused a deafness. And that would be a case where you'll be chayav for bimakeh, even though he didn't cause any nezek.
And that's the case of the son and the parents.
Yeah, the son and the parents and the chovel b'chavira. It's not proof to our case at all. But I'm a rabbi. Well, how can you say that? A choresh aviv ne'erag. Someone who deafens his father is ne'erag. Why? The fish e'ef shar l'chavisha b'lo chabura. There's no way you can deafen someone without some sort of injury. What does that mean? A little piece of bud fell down in his ear. Meaning that there's some sort of, something happened. There's an internal injury that takes place that causes the damage, and there is a chabura there, so that can't be the solution. So, that he shaved him. Right? That he shaved him, and the Gemara will leave this with the question now. Gilcho, mehader hadar. What do you mean? Shaving him, right, comes back, right? So he says, Bahanu, Bayim, right? So he says, that's our question, exactly. Meaning that if you are Megaleach him, right, and it grows back, then you're back to our question. Meaning that's exactly what we want. Mali Seyar, Mali Yad, right? Meaning now you've technically answered our question. You haven't differentiated between this bright stuff and the hand. The hand is something that was injured and comes back, and Gilgo is something you shave him and it will come back. So those classified as a chabura, or not classified as a chabura, that was Rabba's question. So now Tashma, if you say that Gilcho is the situation over here, then you do technically have an answer. So what we're trying to do is come up and explain the Braisa in a way that does not answer Rabba's question. Try to say that the Braisa is not a proof to one side or not. So if we say Gilcho, you've just basically gone back to our Braisa and said, yes, this is a proof to one side, which is that even when it's chozer, it's classified as a chabura or an injury. Right? We'll stop here and continue. The Gemara will continue trying to explain the Braisa to Tashma.